Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're speaking with MIT-trained scientist Dr. Indranil Ghosh, an investor, entrepreneur, and advisor to governments around the world. He was head of the strategy at Mubadala Abu Dhabi's Sovereign Wealth Fund and held senior roles at Bridgewater Associates and McKinsey & Company. He is the author of the book, Powering Prosperity, A Citizen's Guide to Shaping the 21st Century. And Dr. Ghosh, thanks for joining us once again here on Enterprise Radio.
It's terrific to be with you, Eric. Thank you for having me again.
And you're most welcome. Certainly looking forward to getting an update per the situation as we spoke prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, and we're well into that and on the back side of this, we hope. Anyway, if you would, Dr. Ghosh, can you discuss the importance of supporting small enterprise and growth ventures in the post-COVID economic recovery? Let's start there today.
Absolutely. Well, I think a lot of people have been surprised by how well the stock markets have been doing, the big cap in any case. But I think this is a very narrow segment of the market. There's a lot of technology and health-related stocks in there, which have kept those indices quite high. Now, other sectors haven't done so well, like airlines and hospitality and so on, and retail. But really, I don't think that's really a reflection of the overall, you know, mainstream economy. I think another much more telling statistic is if you look at the time between February and April of this year, when the pandemic and the lockdown was at its strictest, the small businesses ownership fell by 22% in that period. So in other words, 22% of businesses, you could say, small businesses went under. And even within that statistic, there's some sort of glaring discrepancies between different types of owners. For example, Black-owned businesses saw a 41% drop, meaning that, you know, 41% of those businesses stopped operating. Latin-owned businesses, 32% of them stopped operating. So I think it's been a really crushing time for small businesses. And to get those people and those livelihoods back on track, I think we really need to support and fund enterprises and growth ventures as much as possible. It's a really important segment of the economy that needs to be shored up.
And you're so right about that, and it is the time to make sure that the small business folks and sector is being taken care of, especially now more than ever. Now, your book, Powering Prosperity, is a Citizen's Guide to Shaping the 21st Century. Explain some of the key steps that you outline in the book.
Yes, I think the three main things that I talk about in the book are inclusion, sustainability, and community. It's so important that, especially in these COVID times when times are rough for people, and you know, we entered this period with inequality at record highs anyway, that the economy is as inclusive as possible, so that we are giving opportunities to all citizens in all segments of the economy, whether they be urban or rural, you know, whatever ethnicity they happen to fall into, and, you know, whatever level of education or sector they happen to be working in. Now, some of the schisms in the economy that existed before COVID were only magnified, as we've all seen. You know, not all regions were hit equally, not all ethnicities were affected equally, not all parts of the country were affected equally. And it just showed that, you know, some parts of the economy were much better off and much, you know, better supported than other parts. But we need to have, you know, much fairer systems for being inclusive to all segments of the economy. And that needs to be done through providing, you know, the basics in terms of housing, education, health care, making them much more affordable and equally accessible to everybody so that they get, you know, an equal opportunity to make a stake for themselves in the economy. But it also involves, you know, funding growth businesses. The funding gap, you know, between white-owned and black-owned businesses is extremely stark. And, you know, it's seen by the fact that a typical, you know, white-owned business is 10 times the revenue of a typical black-owned business on average. And that's just one example of, you know, some of the big disparities there are in the economy, because funding doesn't find its way equally to or otherwise equally deserving businesses. So inclusion is really important. I think sustainability, particularly environmental sustainability, is another, you know, critical thing for us to get right. Now, we are on the precipice of a climate catastrophe, and in a time when job creation is of paramount importance, doing a lot more to create green jobs by investing much more in renewable energy, in building efficiency, in, you know, a circular economy, and many other parts of the economy that can help to reduce carbon emissions and increase water efficiency and be positive to the environment. You know, these will help to avert, you know, further crises, which may be even worse than this pandemic that we're going through, and at the same time create jobs. So it's really sort of a double positive if we can invest in sustainable economies. And the third thing I talk about in the book is the importance of community, of you know, spurring local prosperity by getting local government, entrepreneurs, businesses, and local investors to partner together to invest in better infrastructure, better jobs, and, you know, new businesses that can help create prosperity at a local level using, you know, the best that the local community has to offer in terms of talent, natural resources, and other competitive advantages that a particular locality might have.
Certainly do appreciate your input there, and that certainly does bring some hope to a dark situation. Again, thanks for your input. Now, what sector should startups be targeting in the new normal? Get into some of that per your expertise there.
Well, I think, you know, in the period when obviously people are not going to be as well off as they've been used to, and I think many people are rightly comparing this, you know, economic crisis that's following this pandemic as being, as you know, the worst thing that's happened economically since the Great Depression. That is a very apt and accurate comparison. Now, in these sorts of times, I think it's going to be really important to have businesses that can afford a focus on providing goods that are much more affordable and accessible. So I think there's going to be a lot more room for businesses that produce more durable and value for money goods, whether they're clothing or devices or, you know, material things that, yeah, we've been used to, you know, discarding after a short period. We need to make them last longer. And businesses that can, you know, go back to, you know, durable products rather than things like fast fashion, I think will do well. I think the circular economy, so things like refurbishing, recycling, reusing, these sorts of business models will do well. I think businesses that make it easier to get access to things like food, in, you know, parts of the country where access to, you know, fresh, nutritious food is challenging. You know, I think getting food, something as basic as that, to people in an affordable and accessible form is going to be critical. I think also things like the finance sector is really critical. New fintech or lending models that can get financing to people with great business ideas, but who lack the capital, especially in these times, is going to be absolutely critical to, you know, lubricating the economy and getting it moving again. I think also anything that's going to help people get goods to make them more accessible will do well. So on different forms of online commerce will take off, even in sectors that haven't been, you know, used to so much online activity. And I think digitization will really affect things like remote working, education, and healthcare. So new businesses that can help to deliver these services, particularly education and healthcare, which have become so expensive in recent times, will also do extremely well. And as I mentioned before, I think new businesses that target renewable energy, electric vehicles, and environmental areas will also have a good runway in this period.
It certainly does make a lot of sense, and thanks for your input there. Most helpful today. We're speaking with Dr. Indranil Ghosh, the CEO and founder of Tiger Hill Capital and the author of the book, Powering Prosperity, A Citizen's Guide to Shaping the 21st Century. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, tell us, if you would, why is there a gap in funding for minority-owned businesses, and what is being actually done about it going forward?
Well, I think part of the reason why there's such a huge funding gap is the fact that there's, very, stark difference in terms of the representation of African-American or Latin people in key decision-making roles, in the economy. And if you look at the Fortune 500 at the moment, I think there are only a handful of African-American CEOs. If you look at the number of African-American board members in these sort of large companies, I think it only stands at about less than 10% or around 10%. And when you look at, for example, the number of venture capitalists that are African-American, it's extremely low. It's I think in the order of 1% or less. So, people who are in important decision-making roles when it comes to allocating capital to businesses or employing people in senior roles are often not of Black or Latin ethnicity, proportionate to the population anyway. This is, I think, one of the main reasons why you see the lack of funding reaching minority-owned businesses. And this is a really big driver in the inequality gap that I think has been, again, magnified and highlighted by the COVID crisis. As I mentioned, the statistic before, the typical Black-owned business has 10 times less revenue than a white-owned business. And it's largely because the lack of access to funding and financing to help those businesses grow.
Fine information there, and thanks for that, and certainly hoping that we are heading in the right direction in those regards. And speaking of which, as we conclude, discuss the launch of a new initiative I understand you have in place to address this critical issue of the gap in funding for minority-owned businesses.
Yes. My colleagues and I are working very hard on an initiative which we're calling the Network of Untapped Entrepreneurs Initiative. And this is partly working, with non-profit organizations to do things like helping incubators and accelerators of businesses that work with chambers of commerce around the country to focus on minority-owned businesses and make sure that they have the training, support, and access to capital that they need to grow and flourish. And in addition, we're working with some large asset managers who are involved in allocating capital to different growth businesses and working with them to increase the amount of board representation in their portfolio companies that are of a Black or Latin background, as well as encouraging their portfolio companies to bring more people of these ethnic backgrounds into leadership positions, as well as sourcing goods and services from suppliers who are also minority-owned businesses to bring that chain of economic value further down from the companies themselves into the supplier base. So I think by helping to nourish and grow the base of minority-owned businesses, as well as working with investors to allocate more capital to these businesses and encourage those businesses to take on minority talent at every level and source from minority-owned suppliers, I think we can help to gradually address the inequality gap we see in these businesses.
Dr. Ghosh, really good to have had you back and timely to have you on, and really appreciate what you do in this space as well and for all the information shared here today. Of course, you're the author of the book, Powering Prosperity, A Citizen's Guide to Shaping the 21st Century. I'm sure listeners want to know where they can best pick up the book and also get more information on your firm, Tiger Hill Capital.
Well, you can find out about the book at www.powering-prosperity.com. where you'll find out a lot more information about the book. And on that website, you'll see many of the articles and essays that I've written with various colleagues that talk about all of these types of issues in terms of the inequality gap in different segments of society, and how investment done in the right way can help drive social and environmental impact in a very positive way, especially in these sort of post-COVID times. And as far as Tiger Hill Capital is concerned, you can see what we're doing on the commercial side at www.tigerhillcapital.com.
And that certainly works, and we'll post these links within the show notes of this broadcast to further help as well. Again, Dr. Ghosh, all the best, and thanks for joining us once again here on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much, Eric. It's always a pleasure to be on the show.
And our great pleasure as well. Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Dr. Indranil Ghosh, the CEO and founder of Tiger Hill Capital and author of the book Powering Prosperity, A Citizen's Guide to Shaping the 21st Century. And for further details, visit either powering-prosperity.com or tigerhillcapital.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.